Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
As the exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm Condorian Murad can guide you and your family in the right direction. They'll help you to draft a will, set up a trust, or create a healthcare power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that G&D sent you to get a discount. kmlawyers.com in 1 hour. Jason Aldean. Tickets. Someone's going to win a pair to go see him at Jiffy Lube Live on August 30th. Make sure you're listening in 1 hour if you want those tickets. Danny, last concert you went to is semi-recently. Who'd you see?
Gypsy Kings for my wife's birthday. Also Wolf Trap.
Better experience for you. Gypsy Kings for the wife's birthday. Jerry Seinfeld for your birthday.
Respectfully to my lady wife, because she got this for me. So she knows this is what I'd prefer. Give me Jerry Seinfeld at Wolf Trap. 6 days a week and twice on Sunday, please.
What a play.
Yeah.
For her as by the way. Love that. It is time right now to go to the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app. Visit BetQL.com. We're going to talk to Ben Peters of the Washington Business Journal, who joins us now. Ben, you wrote and did some legwork and some research on something that means a lot to our listening audience, which is the idea that D.C. is trying to find some money to put together the plans to build a new football stadium for the Commanders. So first of all, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good. Hey, thanks for having me.
You got it.
Absolutely.
If you want to check out the WBJ online, you could do so. And Ben's on Twitter at Newsman Ben. So all kinds of follow-ups coming your way, but just give us the deets here first. Give us the lead of the story.
Yeah, so the district had hired a consultant via contract. They awarded this contract to a company called ASM Global, which is an entertainment facilities management firm. They manage a handful of NFL stadiums. And they basically handed this firm about $500,000 and said, hey, we want to bring the Commanders back to Washington. Can you draw up a really detailed plan for how we can do that and how we can pay for it?
So help me understand something, Ben. What did they pay Jack Evans and his consulting firm for earlier this year? Wasn't it for the exact same thing? So now we're about $1 million into whatever this is.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure on the details of that one. I was not covering this at the time.
Got it.
My understanding is that was, are you referring to the JLL and Robert Bob Group plan?
I think so.
I
will full admission here. I like talking about like curveballs and long passes. This is not my area of expertise, but I remember I went back and read Jack Evans, who was forced to resign years ago and amid scandal, is right back in the thick of it. And he and his consulting firm were paid, I think it was $400,000. I thought for the exact same thing that you just laid out for the feasibility or, how could we lure the football team back to D.C.? So, again, I was wondering if there's a distinction that you knew about.
Yeah, no, I don't think I can speak to that. I really only know the details of this specific contract. And this was asking this firm again to not necessarily determine the feasibility of it, but to say, like, hey, what do we need to do in order to make the numbers on this check out for the district? Like, how are we going to pay for this? How are we going to, attract the NFL here? It wasn't so much the feasibility as it was like a little bit more finer details of it. I think that by hiring this consultant, they've said that, hey, we do kind of think it's feasible. We want you to show us more details about that.
Yeah, and it's pretty clear that this contract that they did to get this information is the most concerted effort, as you called it, so far to, mm-hmm. to bring the team back to D.C. So this feels like a pretty big deal. Can you expound upon that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, at the end of the day, it's, again, just the district asking another firm to come up with ideas for them. But, you know, they're putting their money where their mouth is. And it's clear that the Bowser administration really wants to bring the Commanders back to D.C., specifically at RFK.
I just wonder how they'll do it. And I guess that's what they're trying to figure out also. But after mm-hmm. giving the money to Ted Leonsis and the Monumental Sports Group to stay in D.C. after their Virginia deal went sideways, and by the way, mm-hmm. supposedly, as of last week, that paperwork had not really been finished yet, according to Eric Flack of Channel 90, we had on the show. I don't know if they've made any progress on that. It seemed like a formality, but they were in a little bit of a spat over some final details, I guess. But with that money shelled out, what we've been told by people who are smart and follow this like you all along is it's going to be really hard for them to have both. Like they said they didn't have the money for the Wizards and the Capitals. They found $500 million. Now we're talking about funding a stadium for the Commanders. How would they do both? Where's the money come from?
Yeah, I don't know. And I think that might be answered a little bit more clearly whenever this consulting firm finishes up their report and sends it back to the district. Again, right now, this is just the district paying this consulting firm to write this report and I think answer that very question. So I think that that's kind of TBD.
Ben Peters, Washington Business Journal, with us here on Grant and Danny. A couple elements sort of outside this story, but as it very much relates to it, Ben, are included in here. Eleanor Holmes Norton, one of the co-sponsors of the bill that would ultimately return control of the land to Washington, D.C. Again, mm-hmm. there should probably be more moving parts at some point, but said it's still maybe a toss-up as to whether this would even go through or not. What can you tell us about that and how the district's handling it?
Yeah, how the district's handling it, I'm not sure. But what I can say is that there's uncertainty about whether or not this bill is going to clear the Senate. There's been some opposition on both sides of the aisle, particularly with Maryland senators about not wanting to advance this. They want to keep the Commanders in Maryland and not bring them into D.C.
The other secondary part of that, in terms of some of the obstacles, is you mentioned that the local opposition, I guess, kind of to this thing as well. But how far along do they have to have the planning and documentation and feasibility in case things do break their way at the part that's out of their control? Does that make sense? So, in other words, the federal government finally says yes, and there's no more strings attached. How far along do they have to be in order for this thing to start moving?
I'm not sure I understand the question. Can you repeat it, please?
Yeah, so I know it's confusing. So, in other words, they're doing a feasibility study now. I keep saying feasibility. It's probably not the right word. But
say feasibility one more time.
I'll try to say feasibility more, Ben. So they're trying to figure out if this is possible, how we're going to pay for it. How far along do they have mm-hmm. to be once they get the green light from the federal government that they do indeed have the land to use at their disposal?
That is a good question. I don't know.
Our guest has the story as of yesterday that the Commanders have hired, you know, the firm that they struck a deal with to try to get some details on how they would go about, I should say that the city, on how they would go about landing the Commanders again at the old RFK site. Ben Peters is with us from the Washington Business Journal. Last thing for me I'm curious about would be a nugget in this story about Eleanor Holmes Norton, the delegate in D.C., who says mm-hmm. that she believes the bill in the Senate is a toss-up. We've heard that today due to regional opposition. Well, that's a pretty big deal. I mean, to me, that's the lead of the whole thing, right? I mean, are we still at a point where they might not even get the ability to build a stadium because they can't get it back from the federal government?
That's correct, yeah. I mean, that is one of, if not the biggest holdups right now standing in the way of this happening before we even start talking about financing and site plans and all that. It's the district right now does not control RFK. And the only way that they can do that is with congressional approval.
My last one for you here, Ben, is previously on the record. I don't know how much has changed, if at all, but the council chair, Phil Mendelson, said this year he does not support public financing for a stadium. Do you know if anything's changed in that regard, if that's still a stance, or where does that stand?
I have not reached out to the council member's office, but I can say that generally speaking, him along with other members of the council have been pretty clear in that they do not want to spend public dollars on a new stadium.
Ben Peters, Aaron Grant, and Danny, we appreciate the time. Thanks for the info.
Yeah, no, sure thing.
Thanks, Ben.
You got it. Feels like a pretty large development on the old stadium front. But to me, the biggest deal of this story, because inevitably they were going to do this research, they were going to find a way to spend the money to get the stadium. You had to get that intel, and that's what they're doing. As you said, they've already been working on this. They spent $500,000 to do this before, it seems like. Are you going to get the bill passed federally that even gives you the right as the city to build a stadium? We are still waiting to find that out. This is the Steve Daines in Montana telling you he doesn't want you to have the team. This is, you still got some people in Maryland lined up to tell you that they don't want to vote to give you the rights to that land back. If Eleanor Holmes Norton is saying it's a toss-up that they even get the land back, none of this matters, which seems like a lot. Still, the to be determined as to whether or not you can even build the thing. Can you get the money? How much are taxpayers going to shell out? Do they even want to do that? Are people going to be willing to pay for it?
Yeah.
Those are all hurdles. But before we run hurdles on that track, we have to beat the boss, Steve Daines and company, and just be allowed to get on the track, which still seems 50-50 in and of itself.
Yeah, it is a mess. And this was my point all along. Not necessarily the each individual motion or beat, is that this is so astoundingly complicated, talking about RFK. The people years ago that were just like, it'll be at RFK. It might be. It may yet be. But counting chickens, we're not even in an egg phase yet. We're before, whatever's before egg, we're there, right? Like, this is always so necessarily complicated because of that relationship that's so unique here, that that's unlike anywhere else, that federal government, local government, control, not control. Then you get the person that gets to go, well, I'm going to use this chance to play politics or to stand up and give some sort of huge speech to try to increase my profile, to get in the way. It's harder here than it is anywhere else. And that's not just anecdotal. That's not just like my opinion or like kind of how it feels. It is, because again, nowhere else do you have the federal government being like, your territory where you sit, you don't own that. You know what I mean? When you want to build a new stadium in Oklahoma, there's no federal government going, yeah, but this is federal land or whatever that you're trying to do. We may do it, give it back to you, but there's like 77,000 political things that are happening. Local politics happens everywhere, but stuff can get done a lot more efficiently when you have the relationship, or you don't have the relationship that exists here.
That's the main reason, I think, why it's harder to get a stadium done here. I would add, though, there's no other place where you have three municipalities all involved in any kind of discussion. You have plenty of places where there are two, like the Chiefs are a great example. The Royals right now, Kansas and Missouri both want the new stadiums that are being built. The ballpark for the Royals, the stadium for the Chiefs. And so they're going through the same kind of thing we are. We're on Sports Talk Radio 610 out there. They're talking about what's better, Kansas, Missouri. People in Kansas don't want it in Missouri and vice versa. The Virginia, Maryland thing. We have three. Because we've got D.C. in it, too. I think that only further complicates it and adds to the conversation. But you know how I feel about this, and I know I'm in the minority on this. I just don't think it's worth it. I don't think waiting years, potentially, and I don't mean like 10, but another 2 years, let's say, maybe as much as three, hopefully not, I don't think that the juice is worth the squeeze. I think that the best part of, really, there's two areas of going into D.C. with the Commanders that resonate the most. One is that D.C. sports teams being in D.C. is a good thing, and that it's centrally located for Virginia, for Maryland, for D.C. residents, all three of whom claim the teams. And that because you're in the city, you're going to be able to use public transportation at a greater rate than the others. But just having the D.C. teams in D.C. makes a lot of sense. I think that should be everybody's preference. It's certainly my preference. Secondarily, I think that having the teams in D.C. makes a lot of sense because the folks that are in Virginia that won't drive all the way out to the FedEx Field location and the folks that are out in Landover that want nothing to do with going out to Loudoun County can't complain if the commute's cut in half. But it's not worth it to me. No, it's mostly a nostalgia play anyway, and the vast majority of the people that are going to be buying tickets over the next 20 years didn't go to RFK and don't really have any memories of RFK.
Mm-hmm.
Initially, this year, next year, the first 5 years of the stadium, the people that are putting their names down on deposits have some memories, I think. But that will be gone and changed within 5 to 7, 10 years of that stadium opening. The people with the income that are making the money, that are working in the city and around D.C., mostly in their 30s and 40s with the young disposable, whatever that is, like that base of your fans, RFK doesn't mean anything more to them than a great stadium in Virginia or Maryland. Do they want to be in D.C.? Maybe. That's why it's my preference. But I just don't think it's worth all of the extra hassle and weight.
Which I get. I mean, to me, my thoughts are slightly different. And then I get to a very different conclusion, but I'll get there in a second. To me, it's less about being in D.C. That doesn't move me one way or the other. Some people
does. You don't think there's an added appeal to the D.C. team being in the city?
I don't care about that all that much. I go, oh, that's nice. Like it's like an ice cream sundae without a cherry. To me, it's a cherry on top. Oh, that's cool.
So the aerial shot of the Capitol and the monument over top of the stadium doesn't
help. Yeah, I mean, if it was at National Harbor, I'd still get that shot, right? But where it is now, I don't get the shot.
Yeah.
To me, the most important part about calling it RFK or somewhere else is that it's central. It's central to everybody. Instead of one side of the fan base, what I still think is the majority of the fan base, even though I get shouted down and screamed at about this. But to me, one side of the fan base, the Northern Virginia side, this is a Northern Virginia team that's headquartered there, the ad sales there, the partnerships there, the season ticket space is there. I know that there's Maryland fans. I'm not saying there aren't. But that Northern Virginia side has always had to wear it. They've had to go the furthest, and they continue to have to go the furthest. Now, if we move it into Virginia, Virginia getting a stadium. I'm sorry, I was doing a joke. But let's say it was in Virginia, keep a straight face. Then the Maryland side would have to wear it for a little while, and they would cry and get all angry about it. But whatever. It's centrally located.
No, so I'm sure they'd be very reasonable, and they wouldn't be bothered going across the river.
Everyone's got to compromise a little bit going into D.C., right? Yeah. D.C. residents do, Maryland residents, Virginia residents. That's why everyone has to give a little
it
bit,
makes
and that's the most
sense
satisfaction.
Geographically.
That's my
it's
point.
Centered.
So,
but also, I think public transportation
yeah,
there.
Yeah, all of it. The infrastructure's there, yeah.
For a lot of reasons. I also think, and I've experienced this with the defenders of the XFL, now the UFL, in the Navy Yard. The walk up from the city afternoon that you've been having, right?
Yep.
Where you may have parked somewhere near the mall and walked this way, or you know maybe you didn't. Maybe you parked right here in the Navy Yard. The Capitol's off in the background, though. And you're on South Capitol Street as you're walking down to the arena and you're eating the stadium and you're eating at a sports bar right here in the Navy Yard or you're going and grabbing your pizza on the water over on the Anacostia.
Mm-hmm.
Like that does appeal to me more than even the town center that I always talk about being built, like this man-made town center with restaurants. It looks like Reston or Kingstown mm-hmm. or something that's like right at a stadium. Obviously, the city's the better play. I'm not saying that the ceiling isn't the highest at the RFK
no,
site.
I know.
But it's got to be way, 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 way better for me to want to add two more horrendous years. Because everyone that just says, oh, 2 years, what's that? How many times do you go out to the terrible stadium? I'm there every Sunday. How often are you sending your kids and your wife there to have a terrible experience? We do it all the time. You know, my wife's a season ticket holder.
Mm-hmm.
So it's real easy for people that don't go to the stadium to tell me, wait a few more years and get the RFK site. Kick rocks. I'm so tired of going to that place. It stinks so bad.
I get it.
It's so expensive, and it's so awful, and it's the worst in the sport. No, one more minute there is a terrible minute. One more hour there is a stupid plan. It is not worth another two seasons at that terrible stadium to have the games at RFK to me. I'm in the minority. I get that. Give me the amazing new thing faster, immediately. And get it right 20 years from now if you want to. But right now, when, oh, by the way, there's no guarantee that it's even going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
By waiting.
That's the other part.
The extra year or two. There's no way you know what's going to happen.
So I think for you, I was trying to quantify, actually, again, a lot happens on my walks to school. I end up chatting with dads who are like, just want
to
get the.
You love talking to dads on your walk to school.
The guys want to get their sports fix, and I'm the outlet. They see me, and they gravitate. So it's flattering. I was trying to explain this, and I think I came up with a decent analogy. For Grant, that's you, by the way, you're Grant. It's a slice of pizza. DC's the pepperoni pizza. That's your preferred slice. You'd like rather have the preferred pizza. Rather have the slice of pepperoni. Maryland's like, I got a slice of cheese right now. And you're like, you know what? I'll eat the pizza.
Totally.
I'm ready to eat it.
But it's a really good piece of cheese.
To me, DC's the pepperoni pizza. And the Maryland site, the one where they're talking about building, where they're desperate to build right there, is raw, cold broccoli. And I'm not eating it. I think that's the difference.
But I think it's important to note that you don't eat it anyway.
Right, and I'll never eat it.
Yeah.
I'll eat the pepperoni pizza. I'd eat something different at National Harbor if they build it there. I'd eat it at a bunch of different places. I'm never going to that spot. That to me is the cold broccoli.
But you want me to keep eating the broccoli for a couple more years while you get your pizza oven. I'm telling you, kick rocks with your pizza oven.
Yeah.
I'm hungry.
Which I get. But then the other side that I'm trying to get you to acknowledge, and it sounds like you do, is there's a lot of us who are like, I'd rather not eat than go there.
Right.
Right. And you're like, I'm wearing it. It sucks for me, but you're going
to
keep going.
There are that many people that refuse to go to the location. You're saying you're not driving to Landover, Maryland to see a football game.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of people that don't go to the current stadium, it's not because of where it is. It's because of what it is.
But I think a lot of people won't go because of where it is now, because they're tired of dealing with it. Tired of going there.
I just don't think that's that many people. I think most people, if you're a big fan of this football team, if you care a lot, if they're playing an NFC championship game, if they're playing a big game, you get tickets once a year with your buddies and you're going to tailgate, I think they would say, yeah, I love the team. My buddies are going. I'm going to go sit in the parking lot all day long and have a good time. And oh, by the way, in our hypothetical, at this gorgeous new stadium that everybody's talking about because it's state-of-the-art and amazing, I think plenty of people would go there. I would say of the collection of people, which is, I don't think that big of a group of people that have sworn off the stadium. It's a group,
yeah.
But the people that, like, there's a lot of people that don't go to games for a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
I think the people who, when Fred Smoot calls up and asks them, I'll send a limousine to your house and you can go down on the sideline with me, and they say, no, I'll never go to that stadium, that's a very small group.
That's a small group.
Of that very small group, 90% would start going again if it was a new stadium, in my opinion.
Mm.
I think it's a FedEx Field problem, not a Landover, Maryland problem. But again, the preference of DC makes perfect sense. Everyone should want it. Just like, you know, it would be awesome to win a gold medal. I'm not going to go start training in breakdancing. So I'm not going to win the damn thing. I'll just not win the gold medal. It's such a pain in the ass that at some point, I just want people to acknowledge, like, there is a line of demarcation where we're not waiting until 2037 for a new stadium. Please. This RFK or bust thing that a lot of people have dug in on, for what? Because your dad took you? Because grandpa took you? Because you saw Joe Gibbs roam the sidelines there? He ain't walking back through that door. I'm sorry, he's not. Just get a cool stadium, man. Get out of the stupid one that you're in now. Get the best stadium that you can get, which will be one of the best in the league because it's brand new and state-of-the-art and great, and Josh Harris does things the right way. And get it, whether it's Maryland or Virginia.
Come on, Virginia, throw your hat in the ring. You guys can do it.
Can you imagine that? Yeah,
no. Virginia, literally not imaginable.
Getting a stadium.
Not imaginable. Mm. There'd be a press conference and everything.
Is RFK's site worth the wait to you? And how long would you wait? How many years is it worth for RFK over the other options in Maryland?
Virginia.
Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a monumental day in Ashburn. Sign of the time, sign of the difference in ownership between Dan Snyder and the Harris Group, the Hogs. The Commanders, for the first time in, oh goodness, I would have to imagine 20 plus years maybe, are practicing on a practice field that used to just be old, dated, unusable AstroTurf for decades. And for some reason, it was just kept there like carpet that you didn't want to pull up in your house, but you weren't allowed to walk on. You would walk across it to go to a practice field way off in the distance. You would walk across it maybe to go to the practice field, you know, off to the side, but you were not allowed to use it because it was so antiquated and in such terrible shape. And for years and years and years, I'm sure they thought about, maybe we should get rid of this. And Dan Snyder said, how much money does that cost?
It costs money.
And nobody really sees it, notice it, cares about it. Yeah, it doesn't matter. But it took 4 minutes for this group to go, how can we be more efficient? How can we get more out of our guys? How do we get more out of this organization? Oh, we've got this giant portion of our lot for practice that is unusable. What if we put another field there? And today they are practicing on the natural grass surface that has been constructed over the last several weeks, where that stupid AstroTurf field was for many, many years.
That is symbolic and that is awesome. Here's what I wanted for so many years, right? Because again, most people don't go, I've only went to the facility a couple of times, but what I couldn't possibly live with if I was the owner of the team, when the college kid shows up and he goes, God, my facility in college is way better than this.
Yeah.
If you're a free agent who visited Seattle or visited a dozen other cities or played other places, goes, God, this is awful. How could you be okay with that? How could you be okay having the 32nd ranked facility, right? I mean, it's been awful for a long time. Everything from the carpet coming up to paint chips to, you know, there was a time the linemen had their meeting room in the cafeteria. It was just a sheet pulled around them like they were a hospital, a mobile hospital unit or something. It's unbelievable how that could be the case. This group sees it and goes, what we're going to do is improve it. Improve is the word of the day. Improve. To make better. Improve.
Question we've been asking you guys is waiting longer, spending more time at the X over in Landover, Commander's Field, worth it to get the RFK site or not? For Danny, it is. For me, it just isn't. Give me a new stadium sooner than later. Make it awesome. And whether it's in Maryland or Virginia, you build it, we'll come. Let's go to Shane in D.C. What's up, Shane?
Commander Danny and Grant, how you guys doing today?
Come on, Nick.
Doing well, bro.
Hey, look, here's the thing. Look, the stadium needs to be, in my opinion, needs to be in one place. That's D.C. I'm like Danny. I gave up my tickets a long time ago, box seat back. All my tickets are gone. I'm not stepping foot in Maryland side ever again. I'm done. That's how bad it is for me. I hate going to that stadium. It's a dump. Everybody knows it. You know, you got everything outside that stadium that nobody talks about is not safe in that area. Just call it what it is. But Virginia, absolutely not. I live in Virginia. I'm not going to Virginia. It's just not the Virginia Commanders or what a horrible name that is. But you know, it's to me, it belongs in one place, and I'd rather wait than get it done right. Then go ahead and build something that in 20 years we're doing it all over again. Let's build the state-of-the-art stadium, and let's put it where it needs to be belong, and that's in D.C. I'm with Dan. I cannot sit there and
but let me ask you this. So your team wait as long as it takes to get the D.C. site. By the way, how old are you, Shane?
Correct. I'm 47.
And you have memories at RFK?
Oh, absolutely. Not only that, but from the great shows, from Pink Floyd, the Wall Tour, like all the great shows, not just the football, you had great concerts.
HF Festival back in the day.
But I just think that's a huge part of this. I think if you have those memories, if that site means something to you, then you're going to feel the way you do.
How about my boy Joe Milton right now making it tough for New England Patriots right now? Looking good out there in New England.
Making we'll it see. Tough. I don't know how tough he's making it, but he's certainly getting some love.
Got his Tennessee zing in.
He mentioned that, you know, he likes the idea of D.C., but again, he's RFK in the past guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many people that are my age, 35 or younger, that feel that way. If you didn't go to that stadium other than for D.C. United games, or in my case, you went to one game ever there, and it's in the way post-Super Bowl era. It was the mid-90s, and the starting quarterback for Washington that day was Gus Frerotte. I just think you probably feel differently about the whole thing. What I wanted to drill down on, though, when he talked about, you know, I'm not going over to Maryland. Okay, you're not going to the new stadium in Maryland with the town center with all the restaurants and the bars and the hotels and stuff, or you're not going to the current site? Because I do think those are two different questions.
Right. You know what I wonder is, what does Harrison Company think? In other words, like...
I think they think, and I don't know the answer to this, but where can we get the most money from either the municipality or taxpayers, and where we have to come the least out of our pockets and build the coolest thing? And that's where they'll build the stadium.
Well, so I run fairly similar, but I would say it this way. I think they're too smart for a short-term sugar rush like that, meaning least out of pocket for us is good up front. Where can we do the best long-term? I give them that benefit of the doubt, which might mean more upfront costs for them. You know, it might mean, hey, we have to wait longer, spend more on lobbying, spend more on advocacy, grease more wheels, do more stuff where another senator from a different state that has nothing to do with us pops up like a whack-a-mole, and we got to solve one of his constituents' problems now and give this guy a luxury suite or give that guy a statue or honor this or honor that. I think they're thinking, and again, this is based on nothing, obviously, but I think they're thinking, what gives us the long-term upside? So we may not make our money back in 2 years, 5 years, even 10 years, but long-term, what's the best? And I think that's why this RFK dream hasn't died yet. I think they view it as the best.
Well, I think that's part of it. I also think they are RFK guy. You know, they've talked about in their opening press conference, getting on the bus with their brother in Tinleytown and busing over to the stadium, and that's where the memories are. And I'm not suggesting that shouldn't matter. There's a big portion of the fan base that is still going to games for another 10 or 15 years maybe, who were there and have those memories, okay? I'm not saying you should dismiss that, but I just think that that's a big part of the conversation. Yeah. Now, if you want to tell me, I'm 30 years old and I want the stadium in D.C. because D.C. is where D.C. teams should be, totally get that logic. I want the stadium in D.C. because it's equidistant to the majority of the fan base in Virginia and Maryland. Of course, like, yes, D.C. is the best option. D.C. should be the preference. But it is also irrefutably a lot harder to do, to land the plane than it is on the other runways. And my point is, how much more of a pain in the ass would we allow the RFK site to be before we just say, you know what, I don't know, this probably isn't worth it. But I think, to your point, they have to think about, where's the highest ceiling for returns? What's the stadium that we can build that will get the most fans back? That's RFK. What's the stadium that we can build that'll have the largest season ticket waiting list? That's RFK. What's the stadium that we can build that'll have the most butts in seats every week for the first few years? That's RFK. And I'm sure they prefer it for the same reason. But you can't make fetch happen if it's not happening.
Right.
Let's go to Andrew in Warrington on Grant and Danny. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, I'm 38, so 1991 doesn't really mean that much to me.
How old were you? I don't want to do math. How old were you?
It's like, I was like six.
Okay.
Yeah, you're a little guy.
So you have memories of that or not really?
I have vague memories of my mom punching a little hole through the wall.
Okay, awesome. Your mom's awesome.
Yeah, so, but no, for me, I mean, how long have we been in the wilderness with Dan? It, you know, what's a little more pain waiting? We waited forever for the Caps. We were still waiting for the Wizards to come back. The Nationals hit it, and now we're seeing the drop, and now we're having to wait. We're just doing a lot of waiting. And I feel like as a fan base, we've had enough self-harm to ourselves of waiting and waiting that we can wait a little longer to get the thing that we want.
Well, so the patience is not a problem for me. And the waiting for the team to be good, there's still games. Like, what I'm saying is we're living in unacceptable conditions. You know,
right.
Like, I can wait for a team to be good. I've done it my whole life in every single sport, basically. No harm, no foul there. But you're asking me to keep living in conditions that I, you know, someone would come and take me away if they found out how I was living at that stadium. They'd go, you can't be in this house, you hoarder. This is disgusting.
We do shows on Bravo about you.
Look at the bugs under this pillow. Let's go to Chris, who's in Manassas. What's up, Chris?
I still don't understand why no one talks about Oxon Hill.
We do.
Why are we not talking about National Harbor? And right across the street, there's a stupid farm there that no one goes to anymore.
We talk about it a lot, the National Harbor location.
It's gone. Well, if you, I don't know if he means us versus politicians or adults, because at one point it was on, something around there was on the table. And Larry Hogan, who was governor at the time, basically said, you know what, it's off the table. You guys are just trying to use us for leverage, and he pulled out of any kind of negotiation. That's when Bruce was in charge of the whole thing, and it was going great. But
I've just tabled it because it seems to me like by it never coming up,
yeah,
it is not an option.
But his point is my point. I think there are absolutely Maryland sites that would make a lot more sense for a lot of people for a million reasons, right? Because that's much easier to get to from Virginia, from D.C., from even a lot of where Maryland fans come from. You start going north, now you're in Ravens country. That, to me, is far more feasible. I'm with him. If that's the plan, but you're not going to have the Maryland government going, well, that's more desirable land. We're not going to give you $400 million for that. We want to do it here, this place that's been an eyesore and that is lost.
That's basically D.C., by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see the monument. You can see important D.C. skyline architecture from that location. That's very different than Landover, Maryland at DX. Although, I guess if you're high enough in the stadium and the visibility is just right on the perfect day, you could probably see some D.C. as well by miles. But good luck getting there in 45 minutes.
Yeah, seriously.
Is it worth the wait to get back into the city? The story, Ben Peters of the Business Journal joined us today, that he broke was essentially, Danny, that DC's doing the legwork now to find out how they can financially make it work. But there was just this throwaway line in there that I actually think should have been the first paragraph and the lead of the whole damn thing, which is that Eleanor Holmes Norton thinks there's a 50% chance they don't even get the land back.
Yep.
From the federal government, who right now is holding it hostage. Grant and Danny on the Fan. So I was just asking around and texting some folks, trying to figure out why National Harbor hasn't been on the radar or the Oxon Hill area is not more of a factor when we talk about the stadium. Here's some of what I heard. Federal control. Sound familiar? There's some land over there that's under federal control.
Would you? Oh, my God.
So that's fun. Number one. Number
Take
two.
Take me away.
Environmentally sensitive.
Oh.
So I think marshland, whatever, you know, some kind of that stuff that to deal with, I'm guessing that means. PG leadership doesn't want it there and doesn't support it because largely it sounds like they want things along the green line. So they get to kind of call the shots and dictate terms a little bit in that regard. If they're going to throw hundreds of millions of dollars, remember they've pledged already like $400 million, I think it is, to build up around the new stadium to Josh Harris. They're going to put it in a spot of the county where they want it, and they want their stuff along the green.
Yeah, they want something there because, you know, National Harbor's there. National Harbor's awesome. It rules. It's really, really nice. It's easy to get to, relatively, you know. Nothing's easy around here, but it's
a lot easier than a lot of places.
Yeah, it's easier than some spots.
But there's a lot of reasons why.
Yeah.
It seems like those are some issues. Now, you were right, it sounds like. Governor Hogan had almost made it work, according to at least one thing I'm hearing here. But that was when Dan and Bruce were running the show.
Yeah.
And they abandoned him basically at the altar. And at that point, I think some things fell through and it never got back on the table. But there's enough, I don't want to call them deal breakers, but issues and hurdles that you've got to clear that would make it really, really hard to get a bunch of help from Maryland at that site. Because I don't think they don't feel like they need to build there. They could build a lot of things there.
Right.
They need to build in these other places. And there is a scratch your back, you scratch ours kind of situation. Now, if Josh Harris wants to just privately fund the whole thing like he's doing with his 76ers arena downtown in Philly, then he can build wherever he wants to, I'm sure. And he could probably make that happen. Nobody thinks that that's what's happening with this football stadium that's going to cost billions of dollars.
Yeah, it's going to be bigger than those things.
With all due respect to the little, you know, 76 place Market East location in Philly over at Center City, I think they call it, this is going to cost, what, three times as much as that or something?
Yeah.
This football project?
I mean, who knows but the exact number, but more. I know that. Yeah. Right?
So that is an answer, just to get back to the caller and you and I.
No, it's a good question.
Questioning out loud, why does that never come up? Walter's in D.C. on Grant and Danny. What's up, Walt?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, buddy.
I'm a native Washingtonian. Well, I was born and raised in D.C. and moved out in my mid-20s. I got to say, objectively, I would think Maryland, somewhere closer to D.C., is the best spot because Northern Virginia traffic is insane already. Game day will be a nightmare. D.C. is going to limit how much you can build and what kind of stadium you can build, like Grant's saying. Maryland's got plenty of sites where you can build, and you can build around it, and it still be pretty accessible like the National Harbor. Mm-hmm. I think it's got to be somewhere in Maryland. As long as it's within the Beltway, I'll be cool with it. But I would say, objectively, it's got to be Maryland.
Appreciate you, dude. So the Grinch just sort of references with his answer about National Harbor or Oxon Hill or sort of places in that vein, not Landover or not Rowell John, whatever you want to call it. And understandably, the politicians in charge now, whether it's Wes Moore or otherwise, are going, no. We want it there because there's nothing there that works. Yep. We want to make this happen here. Here's money for
We're
redevelopment that's going to happen.
We're giving you hundreds of millions of dollars, but you're going to build it here. And Josh Harris goes, no.
Right.
We're going to build it here.
It's like, well, that land is really undesirable and terrible and everyone hates it. Yeah, that's why we're giving you the money to do it, right? That's the exchange.
You can build it there if you want. Uh-huh. I can't stop you, but I'm not giving you any money.
There's a reason they haven't taken that offer yet. You know what I mean? Like,
question, Brandon. It's been the news today. A big story coming out that D.C. spending money to get more research done to try to potentially get their site back and give it to the Commanders to build a stadium and find some cash on our couch cushions. Would you wait? Is the wait worth it at the RFK site?
The wait is absolutely worth it at the RFK site. I am 30 years old. I've never seen us have any type of success. So I will tell you first and foremost that I have a little bit more patience. First time, long time, guys. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to bring out a couple of things to you that we might be skimming over. First one is the vibrancy in the city. When you walk out of a Nats game, when you walk out of a Wizards game, even in our worst of days, when you walk out of a Wizards game or a Nats game, you have a vibrancy in the city. You have a lineup of people playing on the drums, playing some go-go. You have people walking in the same directions that can choose to go to bars, go out, enjoy themselves, not just waste a day sitting in traffic. I think that vibrancy that we're missing is a huge key, and I don't think that you can replicate that in FedEx. So that's why I say absolutely I would wait for the RFK site. Thanks for taking my call, fellas.
Appreciate you, dude.
I agree with that to some extent. In fact, it's what I brought up when I talked about the preference being in the city and me enjoying going to Audi Field. I really like Audi Field, where I've seen DC United and, more importantly to me, the spring football team, the Defenders, because of the vibrancy you're talking about and walking down the street and hearing the band and the music playing and all that. But you truly don't have to be in a city to have that. A lot of places have proven that. I don't know if people have gone to Braves games at their new ballpark in the Battery, but there's so many kind of, I call them man-made, I don't have a better word for it, like environments like that are almost feel urban in a suburban location where you're in the outskirts, you're not in the city, but you wouldn't know it because you're in this big town center and everyone's wearing the gear and everyone's sitting outside eating and drinking. It looks like the Navy Yard. It's just in a suburb, basically. Yeah,
the first time I hadn't been to Reston in like over a 10-year period at one point. I used to go out there to hit with Ferris baseball inside I don't know what you call it, like a loading dock facility. They put a couple batting cages up and had some pitching mounts. So that's where I get my work in over the winter, right? I get off on Wheeling Avenue, and I would go into this industrial park next to someplace where they're shipping widgets and whatever else. Then 10 years later, I'm like, what oasis is this? This Reston Town Center. And all I want to do is tell people there, like shake them and go, this wasn't a thing. This never was. This is not real. What are you talking? Like, what was happening here? And that's now kind of the more normal routine thing. You build that oasis, and that's the idea.
It's a good convo and relevant to the news of the day. Grant and Danny with you on the Fan. We'll get you a Beltway Blitz, spin you around town, the teams you care the most about. In the 4 o'clock hour, Jaden Daniels, the excitement is growing for the young quarterback. And in the 5 o'clock hour, all of a sudden, a lot of people want to chirp about Cliff Kingsbury and their confidence in the OC. We'll get into that today on The Fan.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
So I was just asking around and texting some folks, trying to figure out why National Harbor hasn't been on the radar or the Oxon Hill area is not more of a factor when we talk about the stadium. Here's some of what I heard. Federal control. Sound familiar? There's some land over there that's under federal control.
Would you? Oh, my God.
So that's fun. Number one. Number
Take
two.
Take me away.
Environmentally sensitive.
Oh.
So I think marshland, whatever, you know, some kind of that stuff that to deal with, I'm guessing that means. PG leadership doesn't want it there and doesn't support it because largely it sounds like they want things along the green line. So they get to kind of call the shots and dictate terms a little bit in that regard. If they're going to throw hundreds of millions of dollars, remember, they've pledged already like $400 million, I think it is, to build up around the new stadium to Josh Harris. They're going to put it in a spot of the county where they want it, and they want their stuff along the green
line. They want something there because, you know, National Harbor's there. National Harbor's awesome. It rules. It's really, really nice. It's easy to get to, relatively. You know, nothing's easy around here, but it's
a lot easier than a lot of places.
Yeah, it's easier than some spots.
But there's a lot of reasons why.
Yeah.
It seems like those are some issues. Now, you were right, it sounds like. Governor Hogan had almost made it work, according to at least one thing I'm hearing here. But that was when Dan and Bruce were running the show.
Yeah.
And they abandoned him basically at the altar. And at that point, I think some things fell through. And it never got back on the table. But there's enough, I don't want to call them deal breakers, but issues and hurdles that you've got to clear that would make it really, really hard to get a bunch of help from Maryland at that site. Because I don't think they don't feel like they need to build there. They could build a lot of things there.
Right.
They need to build in these other places. And there is a scratch your back, you scratch ours kind of situation. Now, if Josh Harris wants to just privately fund the whole thing like he's doing with his 76ers arena downtown in Philly, then he can build wherever he wants to, I'm sure. And he could probably make that happen. Nobody thinks that that's what's happening with this football stadium that's going to cost billions of dollars.
Yeah, it's going to be bigger than those things.
With all the respect to the little, you know, 76 place Market East location in Philly over at Center City, I think they call it. This is going to cost, what, three times as much as that or something?
Yeah.
This football project?
I mean, who knows but the exact number, but more. I know that. Yeah. Right?
So that is an answer, just to get back to the caller and you and I.
No, it's a good question.
Questioning out loud, why does that never come up? Walter's in D.C. on Grant and Danny. What's up, Walt?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, buddy.
I'm a native Washingtonian. Well, I was born and raised in D.C. and moved out in my mid-20s. I got to say, objectively, I would think Maryland, somewhere closer to D.C., is the best spot because Northern Virginia traffic is insane already. Game day will be a nightmare. D.C. is going to limit how much you can build and what kind of stadium you can build, like Grant's saying. Maryland's got plenty of sites where you can build, and you can build around it, and it still be pretty accessible like the National Harbor. I think it's got to be somewhere in Maryland. As long as it's within the Beltway, I'll be cool with it. But I would say objectively, it's got to be Maryland.
Appreciate you, dude. So the Grinch just sort of references with his answer about National Harbor or Oxon Hill or sort of places in that vein, not Landover or not Rowell John, whatever you want to call it, and understandably, the politicians in charge now, whether it's Wes Moore or otherwise, are going, no. We want it there because there's nothing there that works. Yep. We want to make this happen here. Here's money for
We're
redevelopment that's going to happen.
We're giving you hundreds of millions of dollars, but you're going to build it here. And Josh Harris goes, no.
Right.
We're going to build it here.
It's like, well, that land is really undesirable and terrible and everyone hates it. Yeah, that's why we're giving you the money to do it, right? That's the exchange.
You can build it there if you want. I can't stop you, but I'm not giving you any money.
There's a reason they haven't taken that offer yet. You know what I mean? Like,
question, Brandon. It's in the news today. A big story coming out that D.C. spending money to get more research done to try to potentially get their site back and give it to the Commanders to build a stadium and find some cash on our couch cushions. Would you wait? Is the wait worth it at the RFK site?
The wait is absolutely worth it at the RFK site. I am 30 years old. I've never seen us have any type of success. So I will tell you first and foremost that I have a little bit more patience. First time, long time, guys. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to bring out a couple of things to you that we might be skimming over. First one is the vibrancy in the city. When you walk out of a Nats game, when you walk out of a Wizards game, even in our worst of days, when you walk out of a Wizards game or a Nats game, you have a vibrancy in the city. You have a lineup of people playing on the drums, playing some go-go. You have people walking in the same directions that can choose to go to bars, go out, enjoy themselves, not just waste a day sitting in traffic. I think that vibrancy that we're missing is a huge key, and I don't think that you can replicate that in FedEx. So that's why I say, absolutely, I would wait for the RFK site. Thanks for taking my call, fellas.
Appreciate you, dude.
I agree with that to some extent. In fact, it's what I brought up when I talked about the preference being in the city and me enjoying going to Audi Field. I really like Audi Field, where I've seen DC United and, more importantly to me, the spring football team, the Defenders, because of the vibrancy you're talking about, mm-hmm. and walking down the street and hearing the band and the music playing and all that. But you truly don't have to be in a city to have that. A lot of places have proven that. I don't know if people have gone to Braves games at their new ballpark in the Battery, but there's so many kind of, I call them man-made, I don't have a better word for it, like environments like that that yeah. are almost feel urban in a suburban location, where you're in the outskirts, you're not in the city, but you wouldn't know it because you're in this big town center and everyone's wearing the gear and everyone's sitting outside eating and drinking. It looks like the Navy Yard. It's just in a suburb, basically. Yeah,
the first time I hadn't been to Reston in like over a 10-year period at one point. I used to go out there to hit with Ferris baseball inside a like an old like, I don't know what you call it, like a loading dock facility. They put a couple batting cages up and had some pitching mounds. So that's where I get my work in over the winter, right? I get off on Wheeling Avenue and I would go into this industrial park next to some place where they're shipping widgets and whatever else. Then 10 years later, I'm like, what oasis is this? This Reston Town Center. And all I want to do is tell people there, like shake them and go, this wasn't a thing. This never was. This is not real. What are you talking? Like, what was happening here? And that's now kind of the more normal routine thing. You build that oasis, and that's the idea.
It's a good convo and relevant to the news of the day. Grant and Danny with you on the Fan. We'll get you a Beltway Blitz, spin you around town, the teams you care the most about. In the 4 o'clock hour, Jaden Daniels, the excitement is growing for the young quarterback. And in the 5 o'clock hour, all of a sudden, a lot of people want to chirp about Cliff Kingsbury and their confidence in the OC. We'll get into that today on The Fan.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.